Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greetings, listener dear. Here's Thomas.
Here's Ben.
And here's Matholomew.
Yes, only Clarky there refusing to go full front name.
Yeah.
Never.
We all know his full name is Benkent.
What? Ben can.
Benkent. Here's a shock to the system. It's what, 3 o'clock in the afternoon?
Yeah.
And Ben's just pointed out to me, I'm wearing odd shoes.
Yeah. You are wearing odd shoes. You're wearing
two different.
Also, how was that audition this morning?
I know, I had an audition. I've been to two different jobs today before this. This is my least professional
engagement. So Tom, you're wearing two different sets of running shoes as well, aren't you?
Yeah. So I've got one's newer than the other, so maybe my left foot will be faster than my right.
You're running a circle.
A romantic thought. Anyway, we've just finished a Beef Brothers house meeting. No. Anyway, we've just visited.
Okay, Tom, I'll tell you what, Tom. Let me handle this. Welcome to an episode of Beef Brothers Cold Cuts.
Oh, my brain stopped working.
The way this episode works is we get beefs from you, the listener, and we try and solve them, flatshare-based beefs. And if you would like to join in with the conversation, then...
Please do.
Oh, thank you, Tom, yes.
Isn't it?
Then please do.
It is that, yeah.
We'll leave it there, shall we? If you'd like to get in touch with us, it's beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, get in touch, let us know your beefs.
Yeah, and then we'll give you quite a hard time, which is normally how it goes.
We'll give you a right going over. We got through two beefs in this episode, and both guys got an absolute roasting, unfortunately. We have a brilliant guest this week in Brona C. Titley.
Oh,
what does the C stand for? You'll find out during the episode.
Yes, follow her on Twitter if you enjoy her. She's at Brona C. Titley, all one word.
Yeah, she's brilliant.
She's a
fantastic performer, fantastic comedy writer, and also a fantastic friend to us. So enjoy the episode, and we'll see you on the other side.
Love ya.
Well, if you got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you got a problem, call it a beef. If you got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef Brothers sorting out your beef.
Cold cuts.
Wallop.
Wallop, yeah, absolutely.
Hello. Beef Brothers, cold cuts. Here we are, sorting out the listeners' beefs. And here to sort out those beefs with us today is friend of the show. Can you be a friend of the show if you're on for the first time?
Just get to the bit where you say my name so I can be adorable.
It's Brona Tidley, everyone!
Yay! Yes, it's finally happening.
How the hell are you?
It's the Brona and Puppies, Brona and Puppies, Brona and Puppies. Orgy. You thought I was going to say show, but I made it right away.
I knew you were going to say
orgy. She composes, she sings, yeah. She's dirty.
I know.
The complete package.
And I have a mid-initial that you left out.
Oh, it's C, that's right. Will we be able to guess what your middle name is?
Have we? I mean, we've been friends for a long time. Has this never come up?
No, I don't think so.
This is so offensive.
Is it? So it's Brona C. Titley.
Yeah.
Is it an Irish middle name?
Oh, couldn't be more Irish, mate.
Oh, really?
We are talking vowels coming out of your gee. Oh,
does it sound like it begins with a different letter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, he knows how the Irish language works.
All right. Okay.
Okay. I'm going to go for Belinda.
Yeah, you got it. I mean,
I thought
it straight away.
I smashed it.
I thought, you know what? I thought we were going to get a good 20 minutes out of that.
Sorry.
Mid-initial, but...
I think there's a problem with our format, really.
Tom came in here, and unfortunately, we have nothing else to talk about, so we're just...
Sorry, ITV Studios.
Going to say Belinda over and over again for a good
I was going to say... Something like Quiver?
I was going to say Quiver.
We have had this conversation because there's no way you were going to guess Quiver.
No, we had a...
Oh.
Ben, don't wreck the studio just because you got excited.
Don't smash it up.
Ben, the way you point at people is very aggressive. And then it's quite slapstick.
It is Quiver. It is Quiver, but Tom was the only one who made that fun by saying Belinda and not the actual name.
I was going to say Carlisle.
Well, now let's make it fun. Let's make it fun by spelling Quiver.
Yes, that is a good game.
C,
I've got a friend on...
Pentine.
Hashtag. I.
Aubergine emoji.
Japanese flag.
And we got it. Yeah, and that's how you spell it.
That's it. Yeah. That's it.
It is obviously, guys, C-A-O-I-M-H-E, Quiva.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So do you know that was my name when I was born? So my parents didn't call me Brona, they called me Quiva. And then they had 6 months of calling me Quiva. And people just kept mispronouncing it and misspelling it to such an extent that my mother had to break down it when I was 6 months old and was like, we're calling the little shit Brona.
And so they've backtracked on your name?
Yeah.
Wowie.
And was Brona any part of your name? Was it your middle name? Or?
No, I was Quiva Tiddly.
They brought Brona in.
They trucked that bad girl in after 6 months.
In case of emergency kind of break glass and it's like okay, she's Brona. Okay.
And Brona is spelled C pound sign aubergine emoji Japanese flag.
Full stop.
Thank you, Ben.
Always have a full stop at the end of your name. So did you have a middle name? Were you Quiva something? And is there like a middle name that's now just laying dormant in some sort of middle name graveyard somewhere?
That's a great question. Thank you so much for asking.
It's my total pleasure.
So the first thing that happened was that I decided to be pretentious and take a mid initial. Because when I heard the story of the first 6 months of my life spent as Quiva, I was like, well, I have to commemorate that in my name somehow.
Nice.
And so Homer J. Simpson was big at the time.
Sure.
Like, yeah. Michael J. Fox, you know, those guys.
Yeah.
So pretentious to go after Homer.
Yeah. So I decided to be Brona C. Tiddly. But another fun thing that happens in Ireland, as well as the overuse of vowels, is, forced nationwide Catholicism. So I also had to make my holy confirmation.
That's right. You've got to be a confirmation
this time,
name.
And you get a whole other name.
What's
which
that
can
name?
Be any name in the whole world, so long as it was had by a saint.
Yeah, it's one of the saints' names. Yeah, we talked about this before.
Yeah, you choose your own.
And you choose your own. But the priest has to say yay or nay.
I approve.
So at this point, I'm Brona Quiva Tiddly. No other Brona Quiva Tiddlys in Ireland.
It's a great name.
It's a strong name. It's got the word tit in it. What's not to love?
Yes, please.
And so I was like, what can make that weirder? So I took the saint's name, Isolt. So officially, I'm Brona Quiva Isolt Tiddly.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Is Isolt the saint that wrote the fables? Am I confused?
That's Aesop.
That's Aesop.
Aesop is the patron saint of northern condiments.
Right.
Online condiments.
Online condiments.
Quiva is the patron saint of podcasts.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. Well,
we're in the right place.
Oh my God. Finally, is good that what these microphones are for?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I'm afraid, this is a podcast.
Oh my God, okay. I genuinely was wondering. Thank you so much for explaining.
When you saw three white guys with microphones, you thought, what could this be?
It's either a podcast or a political party.
It's either a podcast or how they just hang out every single day. It turns out it's both.
Yeah. It is, yeah.
Pretty much it is the only way we see each other. What kind of a housemate, flatmate are you? What's your current living arrangement?
Oh my God. I live with my partner of 10 years. We've lived together for 8 years and I am a delight. I am such a delight. I am just such a pleasure to have around the house.
I can believe that.
Oh, I mean, imagine waking up in the morning to this little face, you know.
Adorable.
Just adorable. My golden hair lights the room. No need for sunlight or electricity. We don't have that.
You don't have one of those sad lamps.
No. Nope.
Wake up next to Brona and slowly the day will become bright.
Exactly. Lovely. I think I'm very good. In fact, I'm such a good housemate, I feel. I'm so good at sharing that I'm currently sharing my body with a stranger. In that I'm 7 months pregnant with some kid I've never met.
That's true. Wow. So you've got an extra flatmate.
That's right, yeah.
Are they a good housemate?
No. No, I would say that if any other housemate caused me daily nausea, exhaustion, indigestion, spontaneous weeping, leg cramps, fanny daggers, kick them out.
I lived with Tom and all of those
things.
Yeah, he ticks all of those boxes.
Yeah.
You especially get some fanny daggers.
Fanny daggers was my nickname for him.
Yeah. Old fanny daggers. Wolverhampton.
Are you going to wreak revenge by giving them an unpronounceable
terrible
Irish
name?
Yes.
Well,
Come here, e-cigarette.
I definitely want to give, because we have to live in this shithole of a country, am I right? I definitely want them to have an Irish name.
Yes.
But I do want an Irish name like Brona that is spelt like it sounds. Mm. And I want it to be quite unusual. So that's my trifecta of criteria.
Right.
God, so articulate. And it's hard.
It's trifecta,
it's a hard
the name,
brief,
by the way.
And trifecta is the name. Trifecta, C, Titsuria, which is my surname and my partner's surname put
Perfect.
Together. No, but you know what we call the baby, actually? Because I, my family in Ireland, I'm from Ireland, I don't know if that came up.
Oh, wow.
Well, what okay.
We'll put the that in
the island.
Yeah. It's like the moment of reveal when I noticed the microphone. my family in Ireland, I told them that like I like Irish names, so then they all kind of nicknamed the baby like really terrible Irish names, like La Serena, and the one that we've like landed on, so now we just every day refer to the unborn child as Gubnit, which is spelled G-O-B-N-A-I-T and is a legitimate Irish name.
Gubnit.
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 Yeah, so I'd be like, oh, Gubnit's kicking.
Wow. I do like the idea of giving it a really gross name because any name you pick after Gubnit is going to be delightful.
Exactly.
But the thing is, do you not think, you know, when it comes down to it, you're going to be like, oh, it's... Gubnit.
We've been calling her Gubnit for so long.
I just look now and see Gubnit. Are you expecting? Yeah. Do you know what you're expecting yet?
Yeah, a baby.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Well, double congratulations. Big, in which
thank
case.
You
you're
so
not only
much.
Pregnant, but you're also expecting a baby.
Oh, you guys are so lovely. and also, you know, under the proviso that gender is a spectrum, not a binary, am I right?
Sure.
We're expecting a girl.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice, lovely.
Little house of girls.
Is Gubnit in Ireland, is that a girl's name or a boy's name?
I mean,
traditionally.
I think that's a child abuse name. I don't think anyone actually has it, but traditionally it's a girl's name, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, a beautiful little girl's called Gubnit.
Gubnit.
What a country.
Well, listener dear, if you are Gubnit, be in touch.
Yeah. Oh. Any Gubnits, please, if you abbreviate it.
We'll find out.
We'll find out.
Okay, sorry, Gubnit.
If you're a Gubnit and you love your name, do get in touch. Beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Should we start with a family beef? This one says, respectfully, a family beef.
Oh, no.
Seeing
as
you're about to have one,
yeah.
Let's talk about family. Okay, this is from Tony, by the way.
How many children are you about to have?
14.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's the Irish way.
It's just good bargain, you know, one labour, 14 children.
That's a good point.
Just good Catholicism. So, respectfully, a family beef. This is from Tony. He says, hello, I regard having a home full of family as equally valid as a flat-based beef. So do we.
Yeah, absolutely okay. Right.
Did he expect us to argue with that? Because we're with you, Tony.
Apparently he has. He says, this is the 21st century, so let's get with the programme.
Oh, okay. Tony is starting on an aggressive note.
Back in the 20th century, no families.
No.
Famously.
It's a new thing. It's a new concept, isn't it?
No families
in
a flat.
Sort of like what you call those things that spin.
Fidget spinners.
Fidget spinners and families. That's what we came up with. That's what 2019 is all about.
The 20th century was just a single person and a spinning top.
That's right.
How far we've come.
Yeah. Century before that, no person, but just a wheel rolling itself down a hill.
Well, Tony writes, I mean, I'm really upset by his tone, actually.
Does he continue in this vein?
Matthew is crying.
No, I'm really upset. He says, get with the programme. So here's a slow-roasted Sunday lunchtime joint to tickle your agony fancies. Oh, he's turned it around.
Okay.
For as long as my children can remember, we have had a dishwasher in the house. Brackets. Not for them, the painful memories of having to wash everything by hand after a meal.
Absolutely. One of the worst times in our house was trying to work out who's doing the washing up.
Oh.
Did you have like a rotor system in the house?
No, it was on things like behaviour and
how we were getting on and stuff
like that. Yeah.
Wow.
And always the big debate of who's going to wash up, who's going to dry up and who's going to put away. Ooh. Three different jobs.
How many kids in your family?
Four.
Oh, so does one person just get to sit and watch?
Pretty much.
Am I right in thinking
the youngest, the favourite?
Yeah, he's everyone's favourite, though.
He's a lovely guy.
No, I think drying was seen as the worst task.
Really?
Yeah. I think drying's the worst task.
It's a job that air does for you and time.
Yeah.
You know, why you're not...
You have to make sure you have to get the suds out. It has to be dry before it gets put away.
Suds? You animal. You've got to rinse. Shouldn't be suds on it in the first place.
Dude, I was 10 years old.
This is
10-year-old animal. I'm not going to say, Mom, Dad, where's our rinsing
bin. What?
That was actually the name of Ben's house.
Yeah.
The rinsing bin.
The rinsing bin where Fanny Daggers lives.
You've got your sink full of washing up liquid.
Yeah.
You've got the place where you stack
the
washing.
Hang on, you've got a sink full of washing up liquid.
No wonder we had suds. You know, there's your sink, there's the washing up liquid with the bubbles, there's the drying rack.
Right.
Where you rinsing?
The tap.
Under the tap, yeah.
Into the washing up bin?
Yeah.
Well, it depends, yeah.
Bin. What do you mean, the bin?
Into the sink.
Well, the bowl or whatever it is, yeah. It depends. Either you have it on hot, small stream, going into the bowl, but once the bowl gets full, normally then I put it on cold and put it in the neutral place between bowl and...
Where's the neutral place?
And what is the point
of
the bowl?
Well, either if you've got one of those mini sinks...
This was the 1980s, dude.
You put it down the side of the bowl.
Wait, you weren't 10 years old in the 1980s.
Oh, Tom's revealing his age.
My defence is falling apart at the seams.
Next, you'll be mentioning the cane that he walked with, Matt. For God's sake.
That was Tiny Tim, the popular brother.
Washing dishes is a delightful task.
I think it is.
I love it.
And I think it's interesting as well that your parents set it up as a punishment.
Maybe that's what they did wrong.
Yeah. Oh. I think, isn't the idea that you make all of the chores around the house a little bit of fun,
or you give a financial incentive. To the rinsing bin!
We're going in Ben's house.
I'll put them in the cupboard bin.
No, but can we talk about the bowl for a second?
Let's talk about the bowl for a second.
So you have a sink, right?
Yes.
Which is bowl-shaped.
Yes.
And then you put another bowl inside that.
Yeah. Which makes your washing space smaller.
And then you put a third bowl inside that bowl. Yes. And then you wash a bowl in that bowl. So what's going on here? Some sort of Russian doll
Russian
situation?
Russian bowls.
You can take the bowl out the sink if you need to use the sink as just a sink.
I don't have a washing up bowl. I just do it straight in the sink.
Well done.
Yeah, but you've got six sinks.
Your house is just a sink.
You've got like a drum kit of sinks.
I like that actually. It's like going to see Tommy
like
Lee from
Hot Guru.
He's got a load of sinks and they rise up and go straight over the audience and spin round and stuff.
He's got a sink
with water.
He's got a sink kit. Yeah. It's cool.
I love that show.
I think you could get a job in Cirque du Soleil as a guy who played six sinks over the audience.
Finally a job.
Or you could just get a job in Cirque du Soleil because of your funny looking face.
Well, there is that too.
Where's the funny face?
Clarky, don't pull a face, no one can see it. It's famously an audio podcast.
Yeah, put your face back to normal.
Stop pulling faces.
So Tony continues. However, despite many years of me stocking the dishwasher in the most sensible, space-filling manner, we can see where this is going.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone else still insists on putting glasses in the cup section, cups in the glasses section, mixing small and large plates in the same rack, and, Christ save us, laying spoons next to knives, next to forks, in random order, instead of laying cutlery out in designated sections.
Oh, God.
Do you know who'd be fun on a night out? Tony.
Let's stop.
Tony's basically the bad dude from Sleeping with the Enemy, isn't he? Do you remember?
I don't remember too much about that. I remember the bit where she leaves by flushing her wedding ring down the toilet, and then it comes back up, and that's how he knows she's really still alive. That's Sleeping with the Enemy, isn't it?
Is this a Pixar film?
I cannot
remember this one.
It's where the enemy puts a load of balloons on his house.
Yes,
and just goes.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And they go up.
Yeah.
And it's a great film called Sleeping with the Enemy.
Yeah. Yes.
What was the bit in Sleeping with the Enemy?
All I remember is he has his cupboards all like tins stacked in like colour section and alphabetical.
Colour coordinated tins.
Yeah. It's kind of very OCD kind of way of approaching stacking.
And that's why Julia Roberts went off and had to go and eat Pray Love.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
It does seem
it's a real shame that she ate Pray Love.
He was such a lovely guy.
What a great rapper.
Pray Love.
All he wanted to do was rhyme about praying and loving.
The roots were never the same. But Here's the thing, because I have, this has become a thing, it's not an argument I have with my wife.
Sure.
But it's certainly, I think there's a way of stacking the dishwasher, mm-hmm. and there's a way of leaving the dishwasher.
Just fucking it up.
Well, no, not, but I don't stick to any of these rules. All I say is, don't put a thing in where it's going to, when you open the dishwasher, be full of dishwasher liquid. Basically.
That is very reasonable.
That's pretty reasonable. So don't pop it mm-hmm. in where it's going to, you know, it's going to turn over, and fill up, and you have to chuck it away and probably wash it
don't
again.
Don't pop it in when it's going to turn over is also your rule in the bedroom.
I'll pop it in first, then we'll try and turn over.
Yeah. Makes sense.
But I think here, this seems like some quite...
There's some excessive shit going on here.
Quite sort of strict rules he's got here.
See, I have a very strong reaction to this. And I don't mean to immediately solve the problem and ergo have no podcast. But here's the only answer.
Let's talk about it.
The person who stacks the dishwasher can stack it in whatever fucking way they want, so long as they are the person who then... put away everything in the dishwasher.
That's interesting.
It's a really strong case.
Yeah, because then he can stack it, he can have everything in their little place, and then when he can open it, he knows, all the spoons are together, all the forks are together, the segregation Tony has always dreamed of in all areas of society. Whereas his family, who presumably love him despite his horrible personality, they can just chuck everything into the dishwasher, and then when they open the dishwasher, they have to deal with the haphazard mess of putting it in cupboards.
But as long as it goes in the cupboards in an orderly manner.
Oh, okay. So that could have a roll-on problem.
Yes.
Yeah, I see why actually there's more to this podcast than just one answer.
But we're only halfway through the message. Let's carry
continues.
On with this.
Oh.
Tony continues. Now, he's used caps here
to
write the phrase, "I'm not unreasonable."
Okay.
I tell you what, mate, tell your keyboard.
Okay. I am a very calm guy.
No, he says, "I'm not unreasonable," all in caps. So those designated sections could be different each time. Let's make it fun. Depending on the stocker, e.g. forks, then knives, spoons, then forks, and so on. It's not rocket surgery, for fuck's sake.
Right, I mean, I think there's a bit of a... problem understanding rocket science and brain surgery there.
I like it's not rocket surgery as an expression.
Yes.
It's not very Tony, is it? He likes things in order.
That's a very good point.
It doesn't fit with his brand. It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I've heard that some people, when they put the forks and knives away in the cutlery thing, and we've got a little standing cutlery sort of section in the dishwasher.
A
little cutlery basket, if you
all
will.
Right. How much money is Matt making?
And then a little interim section next to that.
Third sink.
Yeah, and a third sink. But we've got this little section, a little basket, and I just put cutlery in any order. Now, some people like to put them in all the spoons together, so that when you unpack them into the cutlery drawer, you can just grab all the spoons, put them in, all the forks.
Yes.
But, I mean, you know, I appreciate in a busy day, you're probably saving yourself a little bit of time, but...
I think in a basket situation, though, it's hard to take out a clump anyway.
It's a very good point. You make a very...
You kind of have to take them out one by one.
It's a
you
very...
can't, like, grab them and heave-ho.
Oh, you can't.
Oh, Paris.
Interesting.
Parry can grab them and heave-ho. And that is his motto in the bedroom.
And that is how Brona got pregnant.
And I'd do it again.
So,
although he did promise to turn me over so I wouldn't get pregnant.
I believe that's how it works. Quick turnover. Phew.
You cannot get pregnant if you do it laserdisc style. That's what they say. So adding to my frustration, he's got something to add to his frustration as well. Adding to my frustration is the common sense picture they all get when they open a completed run dishwasher. They can bloody see how efficiently I've stocked it, and yet they don't pay any attention as they unload it. They just don't appreciate how they can scoop all of the forks in one sweep, as Parry suggested here, or clatter adjacent side plates into an easily transported single stack without any fiddling, about the size, reorientation, etc.
Good and use of the word clatter there.
Yeah, it's a very...
And fiddling.
And size reorientation.
Absolutely.
And Brona made us sit in a certain order for this. And don't get me started on the fucking mugs. I'm a reasonable man, but I'm being subjected to unreasonable behaviour. In the name... of all that is good and right and holy in the world. Help me. Love, Tony. Husband to one. Father of five.
Five!
There's your mistake, mate.
End of...
Tony!
End of tether dweller. And he says, P.S. Please say hello to my youngest, Arthur. His youngest, Arthur.
He's got, how many Arthurs has he
five
got?
Five of them.
He likes skins,
they're all different spellings.
All Irish just, spellings of it.
Please say hello to my youngest, Arthur, because he is about to formally enter the dishwasher rota, which will no doubt comply with your recommendations. Okay,
Godspeed,
so he's
going
to stick to whatever we say. That's,
well, a lot to
stuff,
unpick
Tony.
There, but first of all, hello, Arthur.
Hello, Arthur. Hello,
get
Arthur,
out welcome. Of there.
Okay, who...
How old do you think you got to be to step onto the dishwasher rota?
I reckon...
42.
Sure, yeah, okay, yeah. Well, let's assume that he's still living with his...
No, I meant 4 to 2,
oh,
like
four
between
to two.
The ages.
Okay. You're working down there.
Backwards,
yeah, backwards.
Which is how I did it with Tom.
I'm going to say...
It's 42 like a 69, but kind of... Back to back?
We'll show you later, Clarky. We'll show you later, baby.
You just lock shoulder blades, basically, and that's
42
it.
Is when you are platonic friends and you keep all of your clothes on and actually haven't seen each other in 6 months.
And suddenly you're pregnant.
Yep. Don't tell my wife.
So I'm going to say 8 years old, probably. That would be the age you'd get into the rota.
Okay.
Do you reckon 8 years?
I mean, we have no
eight?
Further info, so
yeah,
we might
maybe,
as well go with
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Would you go younger?
No, I think you're probably right. I'm quite bad with ages. I don't really understand.
Would you have said...
You don't just... Yeah, that has got you in trouble in the past, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, come on now.
You don't have to keep repeating your defence from that one court case.
I am bad with ages, guys. So,
I just don't understand. So, I think, yes, seven I'm going for.
Sure.
You can trust a seven-year-old with knives and forks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say nothing, like none of the sharp knives, maybe.
The sharp knives aren't supposed to be in the dishwasher anyway.
That's true.
Good point.
That's true.
Oh, I knew you'd like that. I knew you'd like that.
I love that.
So... I think Brona's point 5 minutes ago was actually a very good one.
It is a good point, yeah.
If the people load the dishwasher, unload the dishwasher, then they're making their bed and they will learn through process of experience.
The thing is, though, Tom, like with your family and the chores generally get broken up. And so the same person loading and unloading the dishwasher that's quite like a big one rota for one... person, isn't
very
it?
True, especially with a staff of five.
That's it.
I think that the dishwasher is a metaphor. Bear with me. basically, there was a line in there, and there was many lines in there that made me worry a bit about Tony. Tony,
yes.
You okay, hon, is what I want to say to Tony. But Tony did say at one point, they just don't appreciate. And then he went on to say, you
something
know, how
else,
you can pick
yeah.
up the forks, la, 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 blah, 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 blah,
sure.
blah. You could take that sentence, guys. You could erase everything after the word appreciate, and you could just put in the word me.
Me.
Yeah, you knew where I was going with that because we all said
me
at the same time.
That was great.
They just don't appreciate me. Now, I come from a family of five kids.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, house of seven. It's busy. And there was a lot of politics about who wiped the table, who washed the dishes, who dried the dishes, and who emptied the shit bucket.
Yes.
And it was like...
The rinse bin.
And who raised their four younger siblings. There was a lot of politics going on. But I know that that's a busy household.
Yes.
And I feel that Tony is using the dishwasher and using us as a way to get through to his kids that actually what he wants is just a bit more love and appreciation in his life.
And that's a very good point. And I think in a very chaotic household... Mm. You can't be striving for that much order.
Yeah.
You've got to know you've created this mess.
Yeah, if you wanted a tidy dishwasher, Tony, have one kid.
Yeah. Tie a knot in it, Tony. You know what I mean? If you want a tidy dishwasher, out you come.
And tie a knot in your wife's vagina?
Yeah.
That's what I assume Tom was going for
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
I understand genitals.
Because I think as well, if you've got... Like, is he also the sort of person who has sort of one set of all matching crockery from, you know...
Oh,
yeah. You know, like, he's just gone to the Sainsbury's range and he's just got, like, we're just going to get all blue plates, all blue mugs and everything. And in which case, then maybe everything would fit together. But, you know, the way we accrue crockery is a very higgledy-piggledy way in the first place. Mm. Just let it be higgledy-piggledy. Exactly. That's random how you equip pint glasses. Late at night, you think, "Oh, this is quite nice.
This is good. Yeah. This
that's going in the jacket."
Or you just go, "Oh, God, I don't have enough time to finish this. That's going in the jacket."
And that finally is Ben's motto in the bedroom. Don't have enough time to finish this.
It's going in the jacket.
It's going in the jacket.
Finish it on the way home. So I think.
That's why you're liberating a solo, isn't it?
Do you think Tony is one of those person peoples? One of those person peoples?
My English, I've heard of that.
He is, yeah. He's a person people.
I think he's
yeah.
a person people.
My English is so good since a baby started draining my brain. Do you think he's one of those person peoples who has like days of the week socks? And on a Monday, he wears his Monday socks. And on a Tuesday, you see where I'm going with this.
Yeah, does he have maybe. That level of order? Because I think... Do you know what I think it is?
Tell us.
It's slowly, I think you're both absolutely right. Slowly, he's realised that there's less and less control in his life until
yes.
he's gone, well, look, this like 2 metres squared or whatever, you know, like, you know, this is
a big dishwasher.
I mean, he's got five kids, but that is a big old dishwasher.
This 2-mile-long dishwasher.
He's bigger than my bathroom.
He's one of the few people...
Put the five kids in there.
He's one of the few people with a walk-in dishwasher.
It's a washroom, yeah. It's a wet room.
I mean, that'd be pretty cool if you could just... Everything you need to wash, your clothes, dishes.
Just
one room.
You just stroll in.
Do you know what, Ben?
Turn it on for a cycle.
I think we are 10 to 5 years away from that technology.
Yes. And you're still using a system
10 to 5 years.
Yeah,
you're talking about 15 years right now.
So I think he wants. I think he's a man who has lost. He's lost control, as you do of a household when other people come in.
Yeah.
And he is desperate for the one bit of control. But the mistake he's made is he's brought everyone else in and gone control it like I want it controlled.
Yeah.
Tony, be Mr. Dishwasher in the house.
Yeah.
Be the guy who stacks it. Be the guy who unstacks it.
Do you know what?
Just do it.
I've heard this a few times. I've been around people's houses where they've been like, "Oh, Dad, you know the." Dad does the dishwasher.
Sounds like a very heteronormative house, but okay.
Yeah, but he's like, you know, he puts, I'll just stack your plates on the side. Dad has a specific way he wants to have the dishwasher stacked.
Okay.
Maybe that's just
like...
Are
you mates with Arthur?
Oh, that's my dad, by the way. I should say that. That is...
So I think
we're on our way to saying beef closed.
Yeah. I think we're almost on beef closed.
I just want to say that Tony has written us a really, really, really quite long letter about the dishwasher. I mean, 18 pages front and back.
A novella.
I know.
It's size 7
font as well. And he might
as well
have sent us a one sentence email saying, "It's not about the dishwasher." You know, I think Tony just needs control elsewhere to let go in other areas. And then just a little bit more connection and therapy.
Well, we were almost able to say that was an open shut closed briefcase, but it sprung wide open on us. The dishwasher doors flew open there and the cycle was still in play. So,
Look, it's just because I solved it 5 minutes in with my whole, you stack it, you empty it.
There we go. Let's go with that instead. No therapy needed. Beef closed.
Again, beef solved.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I've got one here called Drinks Beef.
Oh.
Here we go.
My kind of beef.
Bovril.
I would like your help in solving a beef which my housemate and I have had for several years now.
It's a long beef.
Yeah.
Life goes back.
Like many people, we enjoy sitting on the sofa and watching TV. Hmm. In our years of watching TV and sitting on the sofa, my housemate has never once offered to go to the kitchen to get me a drink. This is not the beef.
Okay.
Oh, it is, mate.
Yeah.
It fucking is.
We could title this episode, It's Not, not about, about the dot, dot, dot. Yeah.
So as you get, this is not the beef. She's not a very considerate person, okay. But I knew this before she came, before she became my housemate, and it's honestly fine. Honestly.
Oh, honestly.
Okay. Who's this person here?
Did this person use honestly fine, and did they put that in cap locks?
This is...
like old Tony.
This is Andy.
Andy, okay, Andy, all right.
Front name, Andy.
Front name, Andy. Okay, the beef rears its head whenever I offer to leave the sofa to get her a drink. When I make this offer, I'm thinking getting her a juice or a soft drink from the fridge or maybe water. But in any case, a drink which is quick and easy to get. But she always asks me for
Listener
a cup
dear,
of tea.
We're shaking our heads already.
Yeah, we're all shaking our heads at this point.
Andy, you're having an absolute shocker already, mate. You're offering someone a drink, but you don't want to make them a hot drink. Then say, does anyone want a cold drink?
Because also as well, tea and coffee is quick to make. In the most part, I mean, unless you're brewing a slow brew or whatever, one of those, you know, you've got
a pour over.
That's the thing you've got, which is brilliant. But most people
can I have a cold brew nitro, please.
Yeah, I mean, no one's asking for that. They're asking for, you know, like an instant coffee or a tea bag tea.
Yeah,
it's quick and easy.
I mean, is she? Have we gotten to her drink order yet?
Or is she like saying, can I have a mojito?
Yeah. Exactly, which is what I mostly say from the couch.
Yes, that's true. You've got to stop that now, you're pregnant.
I know.
Okay, it's got worse since you got pregnant.
I know, but the baby loves rum.
Have an Eclipso baby.
Yes. But she will always ask me for a cup of tea, a drink which takes longer to prepare, and therefore keeps me away from the TV for longer than I want to be. When I refuse to get a tea, she says that tea is a drink, and as I offered to get her a drink, I should get a tea.
Correct.
I mean,
oh,
legit.
Oh, wow, so they're
legit.
Debating this every time.
Yeah, wow.
I say that my offer implicitly only includes cold drinks, because when you offer... because when someone offers to make tea, they would say, would you like a cup of tea?
No.
Not, would you like a drink? Mate, no.
No, that's not true.
No.
So when Brona, when you showed up today...
Yeah, it was a great moment for everybody.
It was a great moment.
I think we all enjoyed ourselves.
Once we finished the ticker tape parade.
And put our clothes back on.
Stood down the band.
If we'd said, would you like a drink? And you'd said, oh, I'd love a black coffee or whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We wouldn't have gone, fuck off.
Wow.
We meant a Diet Coke. You know, like, why would it... Let's
look at the evidence. Is tea a drink?
Yes.
Did you say, do you want a drink?
Yes.
Can she ask for a cup of tea?
Yes.
This case is slamming closed.
I would even say that if you go around someone's house and offer them a drink, you're more likely to mean tea or coffee than any other drink. If you go around someone's house, you go, would you like a cup? Would you like a drink? And
would you like a cup of drink?
Would you like a cup of drink?
That's a leading question.
Oh God, I'd love a cup of drink right now. Why didn't Nadia offer me a cup of drink when I came in?
Over here for a cup of drink. Desperate for a cup of drink.
I could have a couple of cup of drinks.
When Clark goes, you go to Clark's house, he offers you a cup of soup.
It's a drink.
It's a lovely old reference.
I think, like many problems, in order to solve the end of this, we need to go back to the beginning, to when he told us something was not the problem.
Exactly.
Yes. And that's
exactly
the problem.
That.
And Andy, is it Andy? Our friend
it is
Andy.
Andy
said that his flatmate never offers to make him a drink. Now, there's two problems there. First, she sounds a bit selfish. Maybe she needs to sort that out. But you can't fix other people's issues. This is what I've learned in my 24 years of being alive.
That's a shame, because that's what this podcast attempts to do. It's quite hard hearing that from you now, because that's kind of the gist of this.
Bear with for the second last episode.
But this is how we find out.
And that is why I came here, to shut down this vanity project. Guys, if you want to spend time together, talk about your feelings, just do it. You don't need to put microphones in front of you.
No, but Tony can't
close his back door, please.
But I was heading for a very serious emotional point.
Oh, what night?
I can totally remember, despite Tom interrupting it with his jaunty jokes, which is that he also has the ability to form words, our friend Andy. So what he could say to her is, may I have a drink tonight? Or would you mind making the drinks tonight,
you just go flatmate? Your turn.
Yeah,
may I have a drink tonight is a weird question.
May I have a cup of drink tonight?
May I have a cup of drink tonight? Please have a cup of drink tonight.
Me, cup of drink now, woman. Look, what I'm saying is that there's a breakdown of communication in this flat, and that would be the first thing that I would worry about, not the amount of time it takes to make a cup of tea. Yes. Here's how I make a cup of tea when me and my partner are watching television.
Stand by for the recipe, listener.
Stand up, walk to kitchen, put on kettle, walk back to sitting room so that I continue to watch the television while the kettle is boiling. Kettle boils, walk back to kitchen, put tea bag in cup, pour water in, walk back
Jamie
to sitting
Oliver
room.
Jamie makes this shit look so easy.
Tom, my recipe is so good. Walk back, watch a bit more of TV, walk back to kitchen, put milk in, take tea bag out, enter sitting room with tea cup of tea form. Now, here's the thing.
What?
Not only are you not missing the television...
Cup of tea
not
form
only
now,
are you not
it?
Missing the TV, you're also getting steps on your Fitbit. And you've also clocked up a favour for that person so that later on when you say, can I have a cup of drink,
they remember that
you had made it. This is a foolproof recipe, guys. Why are you all looking so dubious?
I'd buy this cookbook.
I
would buy this cookbook.
This book of cook.
Well, it's available in 8 to 4 months' time.
We are good at talking.
Have we finished the beef?
Let's hit the end of the beef, and then we'll close it.
Although what I was thinking is, know when you're in a hotel, they have like everything you need for...
How much money is Ben making? Well.
Someone's got a middle sink.
They have like everything for your... cup of drink on a tray.
Wooden tray, yeah, sure. Sometimes with some biscuits on the side.
You could just do that, couldn't you? You could like have a tray ready for when you're doing your kind of viewing
people
pleasure.
Often do.
Yeah, you're saying preparation is key.
Bring it in and then you can make your cups of tea right there in front of the TV.
A kettle for the living room?
A little miniature kettle for the living room.
Yeah.
Oh, Andy.
Or just one that you transport on the tray.
The kettle's on the tray.
A tea tray. Yeah. A tea trolley, like on a train.
No.
A tea trolley, I like.
You need a plug when you get to the other end. But that's kind of how they are in a hotel room, isn't it? They've got the kettle.
Not everyone spends as much time in hotels as you.
You're boiling the kettle in the kitchen.
You've just had an argument. You have to go and get, you have to go and sign into a hotel.
You're signing in. Sign in. Can I sign into this hotel?
Sir, could you sign into the Ibis, please?
Okay. Have we read through to the end? Right.
Okay, Tom's patience with the podcast just went out the window.
I back you. I normally back you all the time on these sort of things, Clarky, but putting the kettle on a tray is madness.
I can't get my head around the kettle on a tray, and I just think you should move on.
We've got to push through it.
Obviously. I just thought, I don't know if I can do this.
If I said to Charlie, I'm going to make you a cup of tea, and I came back and had a kettle on a tray, and all the other accoutrements on, she'd divorce me, and rightly so.
And she'd be right.
I spent a lot of time in hotels after that, I'll tell you that.
Tray.
Can you sign in, please, sir?
Oh, I didn't know where to begin.
Kettle on the tray, guys.
I did not know that the first time I did the podcast would be the breakdown of your long-term friendship and working relationship.
Oh, it happens every
And yet
week.
It's unfolding right before my eyes. Pick up from the sentence, put the kettle on the tray.
You put the kettle on the tray, you drink the tea up. Listen, apologies to any listeners who found that culturally insensitive.
Can I apologise to Brona's unborn baby, who we know loves rum?
Oh, that baby is drunk AF. She wants a cup of rum, am I right?
Okay, so right. She says... Okay. She says that if I'm offering her a cold, if I'm offering to get her a cold drink and not a hot one, I should make that clear by saying, "Would you like a cold drink?"
We established this 15 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I say that it's clear already, and that I'm not going to get a tea when I've offered to get her one, even though here it comes, guys. She is my wife.
Oh!
Dun, dun.
I didn't know this.
I should mention that my housemate and I are married.
Okay.
All right, we got it, mate. You have to explain it. It's not a very good one, all right?
I didn't know that we were getting a Sixth Sense twist at the end of this. Beef Brothers.
His wife's dead. That's why she never offers.
That's why she always wants a hot drink to warm up her cold bones.
Okay, I think, yeah. I think
please, is, Beef Brothers.
Yeah.
Help us end this beef before it's too late. My great fear is that our daughter will grow up. Oh, my goodness.
There's a child involved.
That our daughter will grow up listening to her mother and I thinking that I'm always offering to make her cups of tea when I'm not.
Oh, right.
Wow. When you have a baby, brackets. Yeah, we know.
Right. first things first.
Andy likes saying things twice.
To be very serious for a minute.
Oh, please.
If you have got a young child in the house, please don't put a kettle on a tree. Please. That is the big point here. That is crucial.
Oh, God.
Crucial.
And do not feed that baby a cup of drink. That baby needs milk and solids from, I don't know, I want to say 6 months.
Yeah, math. 6 months is weaning, yeah.
Okay, great.
But yeah, do not pour boiling water directly into your baby.
No, put it through a teacup first.
Yeah, strain it first.
Do you know what? That piece of information that he was holding out on does change things because marriages should be 50-50 overall, but they don't have to be 50-50 in every moment. So maybe one person does more of the driving, maybe one person does more of the hot drink making, but then the other person does more of something else. So we are missing a lot of context about what his wife does more of. And I would imagine it's everything else in the household and relationship other than making tea.
Giving birth to the baby.
Yeah, that was, tick.
I imagine that's
although
a big
I
one.
Hear that's really easy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You'll love it.
It's a real treat.
Oh, brilliant.
It's a lovely way to spend the afternoon.
Do you guys want to do a live podcast?
Sure. We'll come in with a kettle on a tray.
No.
You said hot water and towels.
Because Brona's giving birth to you and call the midwife, apparently.
Yes. Actually, I forgot when I offered you the podcast rights, they already have the TV rights.
They've snapped it up.
But the novel rights are still up for grabs.
So basically, I think if you are getting each other on small semantic points like, tea is a drink, yes, but I didn't say a hot drink, then I think there's bigger things going on.
Yeah.
Just...
Make your wife a cup of tea.
Except now, Andy, that if you say, do you want a drink, it could include hot drinks and make your wife a cup of tea. I think that's absolutely right.
I think there also is a tonal question, though, because what if Andy and his wife are just a pair of messers? And what if he's saying, do you want a drink? And she says tea. And he says, oh, I didn't say a hot drink. And she's like, well, you said a drink. And then they do it in that voice. That's very different to, I didn't say a hot drink. Well, I want a hot drink. Do you know what I mean? That tone is very different.
Sure.
And we can't get that in print. So actually what we need is Andy to send us a voicemail.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the room.
Andy!
I surprised you, Brona. It's Andy. Andy's here.
He's
Andy,
arrived on
like
a tray.
Andy, put the tray down. No, the kettle.
Andy, would you like a drink?
So it definitely is beef solved, I think.
That is beef closed.
That is absolutely... That is absolutely beef solved. Make a hot drink, mate. And in fact, while you're there, make us one as well.
Beef solved. So, Brona,
Thomas,
have you brought a beef to share with us so we can try and solve your problems with your current housemates?
And thank you so much. It is the main reason why I came.
Great.
And the
huge fee, of course.
Yes, and to tell which one of you is the father of my child.
Drum roll, please.
It's like basically the baby.
Or Mamma Mia, which was more recent.
Absolutely, yeah, but...
Very quickly, have we only seen
Mamma Mia?
Very quickly, if it is Three Men and a Baby, I'm thinking Crosby, Selleck.
Oh,
happy to do it, yeah.
I'm thinking
really?
Clarkey,
Gutenberg.
Oh, I'd say Clarkey's dancing.
Yeah, Clarkey is dancing.
Inside, I'm dancing.
I actually think Crosby is Gutenberg, no?
I'll take Gutenberg if you take Selleck.
I can't actually remember the third man in that film.
Why Gutenberg?
Yeah.
No.
Wait, no.
Matthew is Gutenberg.
I'll be Gutenberg, you be Selleck. How's that?
Okay.
I don't know if that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the only one I'm really happy with is Clarkie being dancing.
I really strongly feel that you're Gutenberg.
I didn't hear that. Sorry. Shit, sorry.
Inside, I'm dancing.
Rona.
We cast you as the three men in Mamma Mia? No, we don't have time, guys.
Clark is Brosnan. I got the singing voice. Inside, I'm Brosnan. Oh.
Right, okay, sorry.
Okay, let's just cut it short. Matthew Crosby is the father. I have a serious problem. It's almost too serious for a comedy podcast. So
we'll be the judge of that.
Yeah. And okay. So basically, I've got a long-term partner. Very yes. fond of her. We're together 10 years, as I say, living together 8.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Lovely person.
Yeah.
Lots of great attributes. Major problem Ooh. In the bedroom oh. where we keep our clothes.
Thank goodness for that, because okay. we are, of all the things we're not qualified to do.
Well, you're not. The other two are pretty qualified in the bedroom. So we have, wardrobes, chest of drawers. Yeah, I make a bit of money.
Sure, nice,
and
nice.
So, and Sue is the name of the defendant. Mm-hmm. So
it's
she
a wardrobe for me.
Yeah, Sue is the name of the wardrobe and also my wife. So she'll take her clothes out of the drawer.
Yeah,
and then she'll shut the drawer.
Yeah,
but she'll shut the drawer like 70%. Right, so that little bits of clothes are still hanging over the top of the drawer.
This is very interesting.
Okay,
yes.
So and then she'll kind of open her wardrobe, pull something out. Another bit of something else will come out a little bit, and she'll shut the wardrobe. So the wardrobe is also shut. 70%. So basically, like, I love her and I'm in love with her, but she can't shut a drawer, and it doesn't matter how many passive aggressive times I say, babe. Someday you'll learn how to shut a drawer properly, am I right?
It's good, it's good. You know?
She still doesn't. And okay, so here's the problem. Yeah. Like, imagine an otherwise tidy bedroom. You know, photos of our wedding, photos of you three guys.
Sure, of course, yeah.
Dildos akimbo, you know.
The name
classic.
Of our band.
Yeah. What so, a wedding band.
Otherwise tidy, except that you just look over at the drawers and they're a little bit open with, like, you know, indiscriminate bits of clothes hanging out. It's so annoying, and I might need to leave her unless today
unless
you solve,
can solve it.
Can I ask a question?
No, I'm sorry. That
okay,
is.
Fair enough. Do you know what? Good call.
No, please, Matthew.
Do you close the drawers after her for her? Have you started doing this?
Yeah.
And is
that
wears
you down?
Yeah. Is she spotting this? Is she clocking this?
So I think the truth is neither of us like that, because then, you know, she feels chagrined.
Yeah.
And then I feel Shagged like
You look very shocked with yourself there, Parry, for saying that.
And then I feel tired, just exhausted from closing drawers all the livelong day.
Shagged out.
And shagged out.
Parry was right.
Because Parry was round.
So yeah. Life. Well, unfortunately, we can't solve this.
Why the fuck did I come here?
Well, because we have a man who can. Mr. Fanshawe Standen.
Oh, I thought it was Ted Danson.
No, Mr. Fanshawe Danson. Mr. Fanshawe Standen.
Standen. I'll go and get him now.
Tom's character from a Deep South John Grisham style novel.
Tom's friend.
Yeah.
Tom's friend, yes.
Oh,
Tom's good friend. Here he comes.
Oh my goodness, he came in through the window.
Wow.
Ooh, surprise.
He is a tall man.
Long way down. Ladies and gentlemen of the podcast, a pleasure to be here today. Brona, listening there about your travails of the doors closing, drawers opening. Got me kind of thinking. Where I'm from, I live in a small town. Simple folk. Tragic people. Awful lifestyle. Stop eating. Have a walk. Problems. Anyway, we got to talking about the good old days now. Back there, you probably remember a man who lived up on the hill. Tidy fella went by the name of Rabbit.
I do remember rabbits.
You remember rabbits. We all remember rabbits.
Owned himself a sheep farm. Unusual nickname for a man who owns a sheep farm. A rabbit day. Rabbit would go out with his flock of sheep, his flock of geese. He had many flocks. Two flocks. Sheep and
two
geese.
Two flocks given.
All two flock rabbit. Anyway, loyal sheepdog. Walking around, keeping order, dear.
Oh.
Hemming him in, hemming him in. Come by, come by, go by. Geese, why did I buy geese? These are the things he'd say. Anyway, one day, sheepdog gets all them geese inside the pen.
Wow.
Sheep are in there too, getting along.
Oh.
Nature's friends. Sheepdog closes the door. Talented sheepdog.
Privacy.
Respects their privacy. Rabbit thinks to himself, great, good, good.
He thought great, good, good.
He thought great, good, good.
doesn't have good thoughts.
Great, good, good.
Gonna
dig
rabbit.
Me a hole. He digs himself a hole, turns around. There's only one sheep.
What? Oh.
Yeah, I know.
No.
From his flocks.
The dog has fucked the geese. And the sheep ain't around. And rabbit's in a hole. What I'm trying to tell you is this. Some doors aren't meant to be closed.
Oh.
Some holes ain't meant to be dug.
That makes total sense.
Anyway, I gotta go now.
Oh,
bye.
No. I had so many follow-up questions and he just jumped out the window.
He's not great with follow-up questions.
He's on a busy schedule.
Who is that guy? Is he single? I am aroused.
I mean, he's
yeah.
We never know.
we've never pinned him down on that. I mean, he's got a wife, but it,
I'll pin him down.
Imagine
him.
Probably going to jump out of a window so quick.
Well, Bruna, thank you so much for being our guest. I hope that has solved your problems.
So that was the answer to my marriage, was
That's
it?
That's pretty much it.
Yeah,
great,
yeah.
great.
Thank you so much. I hope you're going to apply that to you.
I've had a terrible time.
Sure.
It's been awful having you.
Thank you so much. I love you. Oh, God.
Oh.
I said it.
It's come out.
I'm in love with all of you. Oh, God, I keep saying it. Bye.
Well, well, well. What a treat. What a meeting. It'll take some beating. Why do I keep rhyming things?
I don't know.
No, me neither. Anyway, if you enjoyed the episode, leave a review on iTunes or recommend us to a friend or hop on Patreon and chuck some money our way. We can't do this without your support.
We'd also like you to come along and see us live. Our next live show is... Where is it, Ben?
Well, it's at the Phoenix in Cavendish Square. It's a great pub. Great venue.
When is it, Tom?
I was dreading you coming to me with when is it, because I knew where it was, but I don't know when it is.
Who are the guests, Tom?
They are Jeff Lloyd and Sarah Bannon, a real life married couple.
Sarah Baron, couple. Yes, close enough. And, Sarah Baron and Jeff Lloyd, and it is on November the 20th.
Remember, November the 20th. Podcasts and people and fun.
And you can get the tickets from ticketex.co.uk, or you can go to our Twitter where we have a link up as our pinned tweet currently. I think that will stay that way for a bit. We'd love you to be there. All that remains to say is we apologise to the two people who sent in beefs, but if you would like to be roasted as Andy and Tony were, beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
We would.
And we will speak to you very, very soon.
Yes, this episode was produced and directed and worked on and polished by the one and only Emma Corsham.
Caution team.
She also made some carrot cake that we've been eating throughout.
That
is moist.
Very moist.
Very moist.
Positively soaking.
Stay tuned for the Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call. Cheers, everyone.
Bye. Please be upstanding for the Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call.
You'll find him. Under a great big banner, it's Steve Tanner.
I've seen him coming through the door and through the gate. Through the door gate, it's Graham Norgate.
You will find him under a great big banner that says, "Welcome to Cornwall." It's Isaac Cornwall.
I've seen him coming through the door
and the gate, and standing underneath a great big banner. It's Matt Smith.
He painted his own name onto a massive banner. It's David Toyn.
The banner reads, "Watch your head as you go through the door and don't trip on the gate. Please have a look." And stood proudly under that banner, legs akimbo, wide smile, cocking their fist to the sky. It's a nook.
I saw them. I stood in the doorway.
Oh, good.
I could see the gate. Through the gate they came. Above their head, a giant banner that said, "You're incredibly dear to me, Andrew Fillery."
I saw him there. In the doorway,
yes.
Next to the gate,
yes.
Under a banner,
yes.
Of all things, I saw it so vivid. It was David.
I ran into the gate. I fucked the door.
No.
The banner was upside down.
What?
I don't know who to blame for this. I'll text my friend, Alistair Brown.
I came into the room. I said, "Look at this door.
No.
Somebody's fucked it."
Fuck.
I could barely hide my annoyance. So I had to go and speak to Ben Roylance and sort out.
Here commendeth, and here recommendeth, and here endeth the Neighbourhood Charity Watch Patreon roll call.
It's not for charity.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.